too much because I'm looking down a lot. Okay. Hallelujah. The church say amen. Amen. Can church say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Are you happy in Jesus here tonight?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Give God a clap offering of praise this evening. Give him glory. Give him honor. Sing with me tonight. Sing with me.
Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Whoa, praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Sing it again tonight. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord.
You know, a friend tonight, I lean over and I said, I sense a little spirit of heaviness tonight. But you know why? It's because the songs that these dear brothers and sisters were singing were songs that were ministering to the heart and soul of people here tonight. And they were meeting needs right here in the audience this evening. And some of the message that was being brought out tonight, some were sitting here tonight and saying, yes, Lord, that's me. Lord, you're speaking to my heart right here this evening. So that can cause some heaviness sometimes because you're like, oh, you know, it's grievous. It can be grievous and anguish in our heart when the Holy Spirit is speaking and our heart is troubled. But there's only one way to get rid of that, and that is coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is coming to him in honesty and in sincerity. By the way, this altar is open any night, any time that God leads you to come. There's an altar here that you come, you can pray. The Spirit of God is speaking to you. Mind the Holy Spirit. Sing that one more time.
Put on the garment of praise for the Spirit. Lift up to God.
Praise him.
Praise with the Spirit. Oh, magnify the Lord.
Now give him a clap offering of praise tonight. He alone is worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you so much. God bless you. Thank you for coming out on a Monday evening. It's usually the lowest night of the crusade. You never know what to expect, but I ask that you would pray for me tonight. Pray that I can mind this Holy Spirit and also mind the time. We'll have you out of here before midnight. I just pretty much guarantee you that. Woo! Glory. But anyhow, but God bless you. Thank you for praying. I thank those that are watching online tonight, those that are listening by phone. God bless each one of you, wherever you are here this evening. And I want to thank my sweetheart. I know she's praying for me. I know my little grandson's praying for me. About an hour ago, I was talking to him on the phone. Oh, yeah. I had to call him. Some of you weren't here last night, so you, anyhow. I had to call him. First thing he said, Grandpa, I'm praying for you that you will not be afraid tonight to say what God is wanting you to say. He said, I'm going to see you on that stage tonight, and I want you to pray without prayer, to preach without fear, because the Lord has said you should preach what he's laid on your heart to preach tonight. I said, oh, glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Because what God was laying on my heart tonight is talking about fear and about a subject tonight that I would rather not address here this evening. But I felt God is saying to me, I need, turn with me to Luke 23 quickly here tonight. There's going to be a lot of scripture read here tonight. I pray that you brought your Bible. Friend, bring your Bibles every night. Because as we look into the Word of God, it's the mirror that it also shows in our heart. Bring your Bibles or whatever it is that you look on to be able to follow along. We'll be reading some in the Old Testament, but this right now here in the New Testament. And I believe tonight, my friend, can I say that I believe, and Dave, I know he agrees with me tonight. And I believe many of you, God is raising up a God-fearing generation of believers who will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They have a holy fear of God, and they want to go deeper and deeper in the things of God. And we have seen that night after night here in the crusade. Vessels of honor that are fit for the master to use here in this passage of scripture, tonight. In this passage here, and never mind as they work on the sound back there, intimidates me more than you. Give me a bit of monitor, Dave, a little bit if you wouldn't mind. And here in this passage of scripture in Luke 23, and in Luke, the 23rd chapter. And last night we were looking at this where Jesus was at Golgotha, where he was on that cross. And he was there between two thieves, and these thieves were there. Jesus was there, was nailed in his hand, nails in his feet, and he was just a bloody pulp. And not only that, but the agony of carrying the sins of the whole world. And there he was, and the thief on one side who was railing upon Jesus, "If you're the Son of God, save yourself and save us." The other thief looked at him and said, "How can you do this? We are in condemnation. We are thieves. We are getting our just reward for what we have done." And then he said, "Dost thou not what? Dost thou not fear God?" There is something that he noticed and that he saw as he observed the things that were going on. He saw a righteous Lord Jesus Christ there on the cross between the two of them. And he said, "Do you not fear God?" And then, of course, at that moment, this thief who was born in sin, just like you and me, but now he was thinking about his own sinful condition. And he said, "Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" That is all it took for him to say that. But you know, tonight, when Jesus heard that thief say to the other thief, "Do you not fear God?" God looked into the heart of that thief, and that was already a confession. That was already a confession. He heard from his lips, "Do you not fear God? We are condemned criminals. Do you not fear God?" And when Jesus saw that, he was ready to forgive him. All he was waiting for him just to say, "Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" And Jesus said to him, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." I don't think it was that quick. I think it took long to even get the words out to be able to say it. "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." Can you imagine the thrill of that prisoner, of that thief, when he heard those words? "When I die today, the Lord's going to take me home to be with him. He's going to take me to heaven." Friend, I got news for you this evening. When Jesus died on that cross, before he died, he said to the Father, "Father, into your hands I commend, I give my spirit." And then it says he gave up the ghost, and then he died. That thief, the same way, when he died. In fact, they watched Jesus die. Do you know that? They watched Jesus die. They heard the words, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." Because it says when the soldiers came and they were looking, they were going to break the legs of Jesus. And it says they broke the legs of the two thieves. But they said Jesus had already, he had already died. They watched him die. And I'm sure that thief was, "He's dead. His spirit is gone. I'm going to go any moment." The reason they broke the legs is so they could not extend themselves and breathe anymore, and they would suffocate to death. That was actually. But you know, those that are biblical scholars and look at the body say Jesus died of a broken heart. When he cried, "My God, my God." When he became sin for us. One of my favorite verses of scripture in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. Yes, Jesus Christ, he died for us. It says he became sin for us, he that knew no sin, that we can be made the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we, Jesus took upon our sins upon himself, that we can be made righteous, that which God loves. Jesus became that which God hates. He became sinful for you and for me. He bore your sins. I want to say to you tonight, my friend, if you're sitting here tonight and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, then I beg of you this evening, God is speaking to your heart. Do you know you're saved? Do you know where you're going? Because someday you're going to die. 140,000 people a day die in America. Just in America alone. And go into eternity. Where will you go when you die? The moment you die, you will be in eternity. Where will you spend eternity? That is not necessarily the message tonight, but yet it centers around the message, because truly that is the gospel. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's come to seek and to save them that are lost, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I would beg of you tonight, you may say, "I go to church and I'm baptized." I'm going to ask you a different question. I'm going to ask you, when did you get saved? When did you get born again? When was your name written in the book of life in heaven? When somebody says to you, "When you become a Christian," what do you tell them? I'm not preaching about that tonight, but I could take you to accounts in the Bible with Zacchaeus when Jesus said, "Today salvation come to your house," the Philippian jailer in Acts 7:16, where Jesus said, where Paul and Silas said, "Today salvation," when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they got saved. Or in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, where it says thousands and thousands got saved that day. What was the day for you? I'm just going on the Word of God. The Bible said it. Here's when they got saved. Here's when they gave their life to Christ. What about you and me here this evening? If you don't know, oh, my friend, I beg of you tonight, come and be sure. Come and make sure that you know Christ is your Savior. Would you turn with me? I'm going back to the Old Testament this evening. You would turn with me to 1 Samuel. I ministered on this passage I don't know when the last time is that I would have shared on this passage, but this is an awful story. It is a deadly story. And today, the Lord was impressing upon my heart. The enemy had me under it. I'm not going to give him any credit at all. I thank God for enabling me to be where I am here this evening. The devil's defeated. He is defeated. He knows where his end is. I don't need to say it. He already knows. But he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. Didn't want me to share what's being shared here tonight. Tried to trouble me. But I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that he gave me victory, that I can be here tonight. Pray for me that I can declare the glorious gospel. But the words he was bringing was fearful and shame. Fear and shame. And the Lord was reminding me there are many people that are caught in the trap of the fear of man. They're not experiencing the fullness of God. And there's other people that are living lives of shame when they don't understand what Jesus Christ has done for you and for me when he died and took our sins upon the cross. I want to share those scriptures, but look with me if you will. This is a terrible, dreadful story for Samuel chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible, just tune in. I don't have it on PowerPoint, but there's some powerful points I want to make. Hallelujah. Here we go. First Samuel 15. Samuel, he said to Saul, the Lord has anointed thee to be king over his people Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of God. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. And he said, I remember Amalek, what Amalek did to Israel. Now, I want to tell you here, Saul is being sent on a journey to destroy the Amalekites, and he is not obeying God. So we're reading this story. Let me just set it up. We're reading this story. Saul's going to be rejected because of disobedience and because of fear. Here we go. Therefore, listen, hearken unto the voice of the Lord, the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember what Amalek did to Israel, how they lay wait in the way. Then they came to Egypt. He said, now go. This is the command of God. Now go. You know, God is giving us commands all the time. God, the whole Bible is full of commandments. Did you know that? There are at least 48, 49, 50 just direct commands of Christ. Go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not. Slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, oxen, sheep, camel, and donkey. Saul gathered people together and numbered them in Tilium, 200,000 footmen, and also 10,000 men of Judah. Saul came to the city of Amalek, lay wait in the valley, and Saul said unto the Kenites, go depart from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness in the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed among the Amalekites, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until he comes to Sharon, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and destroyed all the people at the edge of the sword. But, verse 9, the story changes. But Saul and the people spared Agag. They spared the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatling, the lambs. All that was good, they would not destroy. Everything that was vile and of no good, they destroyed. Then came the word of the Lord to Samuel. And it repented, the Lord said, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me. He's not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night long. Would there be anything God would say to us tonight that he would say, it repenteth me, I have asked you to do something, but you've not honored me, you've turned away from me? Then I want to ask you another question. When's the last time we cried over the sins of other people? It repenteth the Lord. But it said Samuel cried to the Lord all night long. It hurt him so bad. It grieved his heart. Saul has not obeyed God. What's the end going to be? Friend, you and I need to allow God to break our hearts over the things that break his heart. His heart became totally broken. Maybe we don't understand that there's an awful hell for those who do not repent of their sins, as well as a beautiful heaven for those who obey and repent. But think about the ones that are going to hell who they're not obeying the voice of God. It's the will of God that perish, but that all repent. Do you know it's the will of God that nobody go to hell? That's what it says in Peter. It's the will of God that nobody go to hell. Hell was not made for you, and you were not made for hell. You were made for heaven. It is a choice that man makes. God, it grieves his heart when people do not receive, but they reject the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross, the blood, his resurrection. He cried all night long. I just believe we need a holy, burden for the lost. A burden for the lost. You know, Dave, we get up and we look at a crowd, but I tell you, friend, tonight, Jesus looks at you as an individual. You are an individual that he loves, that he created in his image, that he wants to prepare you to come to heaven and have you to help others get ready to go there also. He loves you. He wants you. And his heart is broken if we rebel against him. And our hearts should be broken over those that reject him. And it says here in verse 12, and when Samuel rose early to meet in the morning to meet Saul, Samuel said to Saul in Carmel, he said to him, behold, he set up a place and he went on, he passed on to Gilgal. Verse 13, Samuel said to Saul, and Saul said to Samuel, met him there. And Saul said to him, blessed be the Lord, I've performed the commandment of the Lord. Lie! He did not. He did partial obedience. He said, I've done everything. That's really what he's saying to Samuel. And verse 14, Samuel says, what are the meaning of the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? I still hear cattle. I still hear sheep. What are you telling me? You destroyed everything. You did not do that. I still hear. There's still evidence of disobedience. Friend, in our own lives here tonight, what is it that God would say, I still see this, I still see this. This is impure, this is unholy, this is not righteous. Would there be? Would there be? And that God is speaking to our heart and saying, this is something that needs to go. This is unrighteous. This is, I cannot bless this. This is grievous to me. What does God say? Saul spoke, defending himself. Now he blames the people. They have brought from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep, the oxen, the things, look at this, to sacrifice to the Lord, and the rest they've destroyed. Well, then Samuel said to Saul, stay here, I'm going to tell you a story. Now what he does in the next verses, he just tells him the story in the next four verses or so. Didn't God tell you to go and to destroy these sinners? Verse 18. Fight against them till they're consumed, verse 19. But you did not listen to the Lord. Now, verse 20. And Saul said to Samuel, yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I've gone the way the Lord has sent me. I brought Agag and the king of Amalek, and I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But, here he goes again. The people took of the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, chief of the things that should have been utterly. Look at this. The things that I know. People do not go to hell because of not knowing. It's not doing. Is that in that day in by Matthew 7:21? They will say, Lord, Lord, have I not? And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. Because I told you, but you would not obey me. You went your own way. Now he's saying, the things that should have been destroyed, my hand is up, he's saying, we should have done that. I agree. Now he's agreeing with Samuel. He said, I've obeyed. He said, I've obeyed the voice. And then in verse 21, yes, the people did this. And then in verse 22, Samuel said, does the Lord have a great a delight in offerings and in sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? My friend, the Lord is not looking for sacrifices. He's looking for obedience. That's what he says. Look what he says next. He said, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. Said, you can do all the good things here and there, and I've done all of these good works and so forth, but God is looking for obedience from the heart. It costs us something. It's called our life. It's really called our life. He says, I want you, a sacrifice. I died for you. I gave my life for you. I want you. It's the hardest thing in the world. You know, the hardest thing is not getting saved. That's by faith believing all the finished work of Calvary. The most difficult thing is for us to lay down our life and deny ourselves and to take up the cross and follow Jesus Christ. That's the most difficult. That's everything right there. Think about it. Rebellion is as the wind. And he goes on here. He says, it is better to obey. Then in verse 23, for rebellion is a sin of, what's the next word? Witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you've rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you from being king. What is witchcraft? And I steeped and I just said, because he works a lot with it. I said, just give me a description you have on witchcraft. But it's really directly contacting evil spirits, spirits of darkness for entertainment, for information, for healing, manipulation of others, curses and so forth. Oh, we go to Africa and those countries. It's loaded with witchcraft. I mean, they will kill babies. Believing This is the witch doctor telling these things to them. That if you kill the babies, I mean, even put him. This is so sad. It's happening right now in places over there. I just know it is in Africa. Other God, where they're put, I'm not even going to say. It is so horrible. That they're believing this will then bless them somehow. Witchcraft, calling on the demonic, the evil forces. Witchcraft is in our communities. Witchcraft is among our people. And some people want to know why they don't have victory in their life. Calling on evil spirits. Calling on those kind of things that are really demonic forces. And it grieves the heart of God. He said it's like the sin of witchcraft. Isn't that amazing? Rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. He said that's like witchcraft. You're carving your own way. I will do it my way. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Iniquity are patterns of sin. Idolatry is worshiping the created instead of the creator. Imagine the heart of God is grieved with idolatry in America today. People lifting up people, places, and things. The created instead of the creator. And they go to the created and get get all enthusiastic about the created. But let it be about the creator, and for some people it changes everything. The enthusiasm and the joy and their emotions all of a sudden slow down. But the created, I'll leave that where it is. But is God speaking to a heart maybe concerning that? And Saul said unto Samuel, he said these words. Saul said to Samuel, finally Saul said, what did he say? Three words, come on, tell me. Come on, say it, purple. People, are your Bibles in front of you? What did he say? Three words, come on, go ahead. I have sinned. I want you to follow me, please. I have sinned. It's the great transgression. He finally confessed, and he said, I have sinned. I have done wrong. What's so sad is that for him it's too late, but for us it is not. For us it is not. Unless he comes during this message tonight. And someone has not repented. It's eternally too late. It's eternally too late. I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because, here it is, I feared the people and obeyed their voice. I was afraid. I was afraid of the people. What are they going to say? What are they going to think? What are they going to do? I know what I should have done, but I was really afraid what the people are going to say. If I really follow through with obedience, what's going to happen? And my reputation, God bless you, Dorcas. Shame what you share here this evening concerning dying to your reputation and saying, Lord, it's all in your hands. Friend, tonight we all have to come to that place where we die to self, die to our reputation, and take on the character and the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let that be our testimony. Oh, glory. Give God glory tonight. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. But he said, I've sinned because I feared the people. I tell you, friend, this evening, the fear of man has many people trapped today. My heart goes out. Do you know, Dave and Daniel, the fear of man affects every one of us at one time or another. The fear of man affects us. It affects us. There's things that happen. And Saul here, Saul said, in fact, therefore, in verse 25, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again. Now I want to worship. All of a sudden, he wants to worship the Lord. He says, now I want to turn and worship the Lord. Samuel said to him, I will not return with you. I'm not going to. You've disobeyed the voice of the Lord. Now he's taken the kingdom away from you. Remember, he said, I'm going to give it. You know what he said here in this earlier passage? I'm going to give it to someone who is greater than you. Someone who will obey. Friend, I want to just challenge us tonight. If we're not obedient to God, God will find somebody who is. He will find someone who is. I just can't really do that. I'm just really cut out for it. And others can do it better than I. Oh, friend, please. Please. He said, I will find it. I will find someone else. And of course he did, because he anointed David. If we look at that, he says here, in fact, if you go to chapter 16, and I don't have time tonight to go and to read all this, but it says he found David and anointed him, but Saul was fearful. Yeah, Saul was so fearful. He was so afraid. Then it was shameful and maybe guilt that was resting on his heart. And just all of a sudden, then as this passage go on, in fact, I'll just look at the end of it in chapter 31. But nevertheless, you can just turn there and then we'll just read a few verses in chapter 31. Okay? But what happens is he becomes depressed. He becomes hopeless. And that's what happens. And depression set into his life. And he said, I can't handle this anymore. I just hate myself. I don't like myself anymore. I disobeyed. Tonight, there may be people sitting here that there's that spirit of depression, that spirit of hopelessness. I tell you tonight, that is from the enemy. That is from Satan himself to bring depression into people's lives. You've gone too far. You've crossed the line. There's no hope for you. He is a liar today. Back here, he could not come back. Today is the day of grace. He will forgive. He said, I just want you to repent. I want you to confess and repent. I will forgive you. I'll say it again. He's more eager to forgive us than we are to be forgiven. He wants to forgive us. And what happens? And we just look at that passage of Scripture. In fact, in chapter 31, just really, really quickly. And then we need to move on. But he, I don't know, maybe he became arrogant and self-righteous. And it was partial disobedience for Saul. Pride and maybe even anger and then worry and all of these things came into his life. And then just look with me in chapter 31. It says, Saul said to his armor bearer, verse 4. Saul said to his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust it into me. Kill me! He could have said, but his armor bearer would not, for he was, what's the word? He was afraid. He was sore afraid. Friend, fear has a way of connecting to others and even generational fears of people that's passed on from generation to generation. Now the sword bearer, his armor bearer that has been traveling with him, now he is afraid. He is fearful. He said, Saul said, kill me, get the sword and put it in me. He said, no, I'm afraid to do that. Can you imagine? This is a terrible story. What an ending. Therefore, what happens? The armor bearer would not because he was afraid. Therefore, Saul took a sword and he fell upon it. He took his own life. He took his own sword and he goes, ah! And he falls and he dies. What a tragedy! How hopeless! God is the judge. We don't know. But there was that hopelessness within him. There's no hope anymore. I've crossed the line. I tell you, that spirit of fear, that spirit of the fear of man, the fear of man is a crippling spirit. It cripples people's faith. It cripples their hope. It cripples their joy. It steals from them when there's hopelessness and fear, the fear of man, when it is there. Agonizing and tormenting. That's what it is. Here's a couple scriptures. If you have your notes, just jot these scriptures down. If you have it back there, you can bring it to me. Derek will do that. The Bible says the fear of man, Proverbs 29:25. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be what? Safe. How many of you want to be safe tonight? Come on, every hand. I know we want. We all want to be safe. Not sorry. But he said the fear of man bringeth a trap. It's a snare that people are caught in. I know God said this, and I know God is asking this, but I'm afraid. I'm just afraid. The fear of man bringeth a snare. And then in Matthew 25, just turn with me to that passage of Scripture real quickly here this evening. In Matthew 25, in this passage of Scripture, my friend, This is, God is talking to servants. We all know the story in Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, and maybe we'll pick up at verse 24. Matthew 25, where God had given the talents and the abilities and so forth to the different ones of the servants. And of the one that had two and the one that had five, they utilized those talents. Matthew 25, verse 23, they were faithful servants. And the Lord said, enter into the joy of the Lord, verse 23, then verse 24. And then he received one, he came to him, and the Lord, he said, Lord, I knew that thou were hard reaping where thou hasn't sown and gathering where thou hasn't strawed and so forth. And verse 25, he says, I was what? I was afraid. I couldn't do it right. I was just afraid. He said, I was afraid, and I went and hid that talent in the earth. He didn't abuse it. He didn't misuse it. He didn't even refuse it, but he didn't use it. He didn't use it. How many people in the church today, somebody said, the wealthiest place in our community is the graveyard. Really? People's talents, gifts, and abilities, what God has blessed them with, whether it be spiritual gifts, natural gifts, that have not been utilized to the glory of God. I just never thought I could. I know God is speaking to me, but God is gifted. But I, you know what? Somebody else can do it better than I. And God said, I will find someone else if you're not going to do it. But there's a price to pay. There's a terrible price to pay. The spirit of fear, the fearful, we will see in a moment. And his lords answered him and said, thou wicked, slothful, lazy servant. He was a servant. He called him wicked. You wicked servant. You should have taken what I gave you. You knew it, so forth, and you should have therefore, verse 27, put the money out to the changers and so forth. Verse 28, take therefore the talent from him and give it to him that hath 10. For everyone that hath shall be given, him that hath, and he shall have abundance. And he that hath abundance, but for him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. Wow! Look at the punishment. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's called hell. Imagine, all because of the fear of man. I was fearful. I couldn't do it right. I knew somebody else could. Hey, could you lead singing? Hey, could you help do this? Hey, could you help do that? Hey, could you do this? Hey, would you be able to share in a Sunday school? Hey, could you do this? No, I think somebody else can do it better than I. Be careful. I'm just not qualified. We're none of us are. But God qualifies the called, and he's calling us. And he says, if you just make yourself available, I will work in you. Friend, I walk up here on this platform. Dave walks up here on this platform. We're just like, oh, God, please help us, God. It's not really in us. It's what you put in us, but we don't have it, God. Please help me, Lord Jesus. Lord, I want to please you. I'm not going to say everything just right, but my greatest concern is that when we're done this evening, like every night, that God is saying that was good, that was good. That is pleasing to him. Because I am going to answer to him, not to you. I will answer to God for what I say. So will you. He said, put him in outer darkness. Oh, friend, tonight, maybe your thoughts are running tonight and you're saying, there are these things God has reminded me of, but I've not been willing. I have just taken a back seat. Somebody said we have a lot of caterpillars in the church. It's those that crawl in and crawl out. But I don't know if that's really true that way. But anyhow. Ha! The uninvolved, you know who are the most disappointed in ball games or whatever? Those who are the ones that criticize the most what's going on, the ones that are not playing. Hello? Same thing in the church. It's the uninvolved that criticize what the involved are doing. Shameful! Instead of saying, can I pray for you? Can I lend a helping hand? Therefore, in that passage of Scripture, and then in Revelation 21, just go there real quickly. Revelation 21. In Revelation 21, I would just read a couple of verses of Scripture here. Revelation 21, the first part of chapter 21, it's talking about the new heaven and the new earth. Former things shall be passed away. All tears wiped away from their eyes. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. The former things are all going to be passed away. He said, right, these words are faithful and true. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will, and he that is athirst, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But look at what happens. Then there are eight kinds of people that will not go to heaven. He said, but the worst one is the fearful. Do you have it there? There it is. But he said, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers. He said, the warmongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters. All liars have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Isn't it interesting? The first person he names is the fearful. He said, the fearful are not going to heaven. Because I had a fear of man instead of the fear of God. The fearful, he said, had their place in the lake. Friend, I'm just reading the Bible. This is the word of God. It is so serious. It's the difference between heaven and hell. To be obedient to God. And we do it in fear. We do it in trembling. He said the fearful, they have their place there. And then shame, I don't know, maybe those here this evening, that tonight you're caught in that trap of even shame. You look at your past. I want to tell you, friend, tonight, don't let your past determine your destiny, and don't let your history determine your future. Do not let your past determine your destiny. Don't let your history determine your future. Well, you know, that's the way it is back there. I just amount to nothing. I can't really do anything. No, no, no. That is saying, God, you don't have what it takes to do in me what needs to be done. That's really what we're saying. It may sound like being humble, but it's not. It's false humility and pride. That's really what it is. Oh, Jesus, help us, oh God. And then shame. All of us have shame. We have regret. How would you like if somebody made a movie of your life? Edna? How'd you, Dan? Whatever your name. What's somebody in a movie? Ron. What if somebody made a movie of your life? Everything you've ever said, everything you've ever done, every action, every attitude, even the things you thought of doing, but you never did it. What if somebody made a movie of your life? Would you want the world or anybody to see it? No. Neither would I. But I have information and good news for you tonight. I know somebody that saw your movie. He saw every part of it, Daniel. And in spite of what he saw, he says, I love you. I care for you. I died for you. I forgive you. I cleanse you. I make beauty out of the ashes of sin. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Give him glory tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. That is our only hope. That's our only hope. And there's things that we, you know, that cause us regret and shame and things in our life. We could wish we could go back. We could do something differently. You know, and sometimes we're fearful of telling people and even confessing and maybe not only sin, but things maybe we wish were in a different way and that kind of thing. I'm going to go into this tonight, but... some of you know, but, you know, when I found out about 9 years ago that there's a son that I have that has my blood because of my sinfulness before coming to Christ and about 4 years before I was married, but not really realizing until about 9 years ago. I hung my head in shame. I was so discouraged. God, why? Why now, God? What do people say? What are people thinking? It was so hard. I thank God for people like Brother Dave and Lonnie and others that looked me in the face and said, Nelson, put your head up. Put your head up. Don't let your head down. God has forgiven you. And he will give you grace and strength to work through this. Yes. It was so difficult. But I can't tell you the stories tonight of how God redeemed that for others who had walked in similar places but had not yet come to the place of acknowledging. But when I found out, I acknowledged it. The sad thing is, I watched my son die about 4 years ago of a heart condition. You know, some of you fathers and family, you've got things in your families. You know, you wish you were different. And I think of my sweetheart daughter, Megan, who was at home. And she has some children, you know, and she's not married. It's been so hard for us. For her to be adopted, it's been a horrible thing for her to work through. We stood with her. She's lived with us all this time, except for about 8 months. Dave, when I came out last evening on my phone, she said, Daddy, I'm praying for you. Dad, I love you and I'm praying for you. I just appreciate your preaching the gospel, Dad, I'm praying for you. I text her back and I said, Megan, thank you so much. I love you. Thank you so much. Because we see God doing good things. Her allowing God to do good things in her life that she hadn't before. And going with us to church. There's that spirit within her. You know, the Bible says, teach when they're young. It's not going to depart from them. Even though you think it has departed. I want to give hope tonight. I thank God for the spirit of encouragement. Dave, I come down here last night and a brother grabbed me and threw his arms around me. And he said, I just want to pray with you and I want to share with you because I just want to encourage you here this evening. I said, brother, you are an angel from God. I remember at that funeral of my son, somebody slipped something into my pocket that I read about a week later. When I was so discouraged, I'm like, may as well just give it all up. I don't mean the Christian life. I don't mean that. I mean, just why even go out? And then I pulled this little paper out that I hadn't read. It said, my name is I Am. I was regretting the past and fearing the future. Suddenly my Lord was speaking. My name is I Am. I paused. He paused, I waited. He continued, when you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it is hard because I am not there. My name is not I was. When you live in the present with its problems and fears, it is hard. I'm sorry, when you live in the future with its problems and fears, it is hard. But I'm not there. My name is not I will be. But when you live in this moment, it is not hard, for I am here. My name is I Am. Helen Mellicott wrote that. And when I read that, it brought such courage to my soul. I needed to go back to that to say, God, I don't have the fear of the future. And the past is in your hands. Show that scripture of the shame, Derek, if you would do that. The scripture there, if you would, instead of me turning to it, in Isaiah 54. In Isaiah 54, I want to encourage you tonight. Some of you are sitting here with guilt and shame in your life. Isaiah 54, verse 4. I would turn to it, but part of the page of my Bible is ripped out there, and I couldn't read it. But if somebody, if you have it, if you don't, you have it, okay? Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither thou be confounded, for thou shalt be not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. You know why? Because Jesus said on the cross, he bore our shame. He bore all our shame. He bore all our guilt. He bore all our shame at the cross. There's some other scriptures there, but I'm not even going to turn to them. I just want to quote a few scriptures here tonight before we draw to a close here this evening. I believe God is speaking to some here tonight that God is just drawing you and he's asking you to say, lay the past in his hands. Don't have shame. Don't dwell on the past. Don't fear the future. But the fear of God, do you have those scriptures there right quick, Eugene, or whoever has those? Psalm 86, verse 11. Do you have that scripture there? For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for you. Excuse me. Psalm 86. If you have that Psalm 86, verse 11. I think we lost Derek. Anyhow, I'm sorry, we didn't lose him. He just needed to step out. Do you have it? Not there? Do you have any of the others or not? All right, let me just quote a couple scriptures. Here this evening. Forget the Philippians. Let's go on. We'll move on to the Psalm 86 if you have it there. If you have that here this evening, it's the next ones coming up there. If you have them, I think they're probably there. But if not, I'll try and quote some of them here. All right, here we go. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to do what? Fear thy name. Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name. Can you go right to the next one? Unite my heart to fear thy name. And then in Proverbs 3, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And then the next scripture in 2 Timothy 1, 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Paul went on to say, but therefore, be not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, nor me a prisoner. He said, God has not given me the spirit of fear. You know why? Because the scripture says in 1 John 4, 18, because fear has torment. Fear torments us. But the Lord said, I'm not giving you that spirit of fear. And then the next verse of scripture in Acts 2. In fact, I just want to say, then they gladly, it says they were, I'm talking about the early church there when Peter was preaching the gospel. It says, then they were baptized and added to the church and so forth, and the breaking of bread and in fellowship. And the bottom line is, says they went, it goes on from there after that. And it says, fear of God came upon every person. The fear of God came upon them, upon every one of them, the fear of God. And then if you turn with me to the final one, and that is Ecclesiastes 12:13, then it was Solomon who wrote the words. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and obey his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Yeah. In fact, the last part of that verse, I think it says, for God shall bring everything into judgment, the final part of that. But it says the conclusion of the whole matter is fear God and obey him. Friend, I want to encourage us here this evening. If God, if you have that, if tonight you're caught in that trap somewhere of the fear of man, what are others going to think, or fear of failure, fear of the future, or there's shame in your life this evening, you're saying, I want to get that settled at the foot of the cross here this evening, then I would beg for you to come here tonight, or maybe a spirit of hopelessness here tonight, and then to come and say, Lord, I repent of that this evening. I put my trust in you, the Lord Jesus Christ, and ask Jesus to apply his shed blood. If there needs to be forgiveness or repentance here this evening, it's all through the cross and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, I'll say it again tonight. God is raising up a God-fearing host of people, a remnant who has the holy fear of God. If there's something we're missing in America, in the church, I believe it is a holy fear of God. A respect, a reverence, an awe of God. Oh, God, God, you are wonderful. You are awesome, marvelous. And now you don't lose that term lightly here this evening. The holy fear of God, a heart of honesty, openness, a heart of obedience, a heart of blessing. Let us stand together here tonight.